Broadcasting live from beautiful, historic Marion, Ohio, it's Now with Scott Spears. Call Scott live on the air anytime at 740-383-9944. No topic is too big or too small. I'm your announcer, the man with the golden voice, Ted Williams. And now, here's your host, Scott Spears.
Man with a golden voice, Ted Williams. Scott Spears coming at you here on a Tuesday morning, Tuesday, December the 5th, 2023, 15 minutes past the hour, 37 degrees and cloudy skies here in Marion, 20 days until Christmas. How about that? Christmas just around the corner. You know, it comes fast, doesn't it? Doesn't really feel like Christmas to me. I do have to say that. There's something going on where it really does not feel like Christmas quite yet. We got a phone call there right off the bat. If that was you, give us a buzz, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. If you'd like to give us a call, we'd love to hear from you on any topic out there in the world. Do want to remind everybody of our big calendar of events coming up. This coming Saturday, Christmas in the Village, Christmas in Caledonia, I'll be there. Carrington, Matt will be there. 6:15 p.m. we'll be lighting the Christmas tree in Caledonia, which will be outside this year. There's a whole lot of events going on over in Caledonia this coming Saturday. Let's take the phone call here, and we'll come back to this momentarily. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, Ted here.
Yes.
Commissioner Davis and Murray will be attending, and here I got I just dropped this daggone. Be right back here in a minute. And Bill Collins is attending, so those three will be attending the talk.
Oh, so perfect. So we've definitely.
Or maybe you sometimes go to some other thing and have it on there. So I just thought I'd give it to you early in the morning.
Yeah, that's good. So Dr. Davis and Commissioner Murray and Bill Collins are all definite yeses at this point.
That's correct.
Well, I'm glad to hear that. So the only ones we're up in the air on this point are Appafeller and Lois Fisher?
No, we're not going to put them up in the air for nothing. That's just maybe personal reasons and stuff like that. I don't need to be broadcast. I just give you the ones that will be there, and those are the ones I nominated, and that's about the end that I want to go on that facility, on that kind of thing. So, but I will mention one thing that we're really a little overlooking if you really want a really important name.
Okay.
What happened to Fred Malone?
You know, I don't think anybody's nominated Fred.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm nominating him. I'm going to let you do the legwork on that. That's what I dropped down here. That I had another piece of paper reminding me to get that. So, Fred Malone, he's a very valuable person, and he's been with you for a long, long time. So, Fred, if you're out there listening, I was thinking about you. So, thank you if you could attend. I'd kind of like to see you personally myself.
Yes, I will make sure Fred knows. And I did send a note over to James Anderson, so I'm pretty sure he will be there as well.
So I just take responsibility for the ones I nominated, and the others, well, somebody else will have to take care of that.
I like it. I like that they'll be there. We should have a lot of fun. It'll be nice seeing Bill Collins and Mayor Kellogg together.
Yeah, well, if they can see each other, and if they aren't too busy getting warmed up, you know, when you're in an activity like that, you got to have warm-up time and everything and get everything ready to go. How about you, Scott? Are you going to be warmed up? Is that going to be a pretty good night? How the weather forecast, Adam, he's been pretty good. So that's going to tell the tale on the December 14th event at 7 o'clock, dark. And we'll let it go at that then, okay?
We will. Hey, thanks.
You're welcome.
All right. Well, I'm glad to hear we've got some confirmations right off the bat this morning for Fruitcake Day. County Commissioner Dr. Davis and County Commissioner Kerr Murray, definite yeses. And incoming mayor, current sheriff's deputy, Bill Collins, a definite yes. So that's good to hear. I'm glad they'll all be there that night. And a new nomination this morning, Fred Malone from the Historical Society. And we'll make sure Fred knows that he has been nominated and is in this event. So boy, oh boy, it is just piling up here. And we like this. This is going to be a lot of fun. That's the fruitcake toss. Of course, coming up on Thursday night, December 14th, 7 p.m., 685 Delaware Avenue, where the radio station is, and the nomination so far, Ted, Adam, Dr. Davis, Kerr Murray, Andy Appafeller, Sarah, Chip, Mr. Neal, Carrington, Matt, myself, Judy Summers, Glenn Coble, Lee, Glenn Jerome, Tyler Wilson, Ayers Ratliff, Tracy Lee, Pastor Whitaker, Bill Collins, Mary Ellen Withrow, Mayor Kellogg, Fruitcake Lily, 10 years old, Pastor Craig, Golden Voice Ted Williams, Sheila Evans, Linda Sims, her husband Ed Pickett, who won the event last year, Caleb Rice, Bob Welsh, Mrs. Welsh, George Kasotis, Joanne Kasotis, Sheriff Bales, a representative from the fire department, Judge Edwards, Carrie Grigsby, Caitlin from the Kroger Pharmacy, Lois Fisher, Nick Fisher, Miranda McGinnis, City Auditor, James Anderson, Naturalist, Abby, Mike McGinnis from My 600-Pound Life, Becky Morgan, who's making our Buckeyes, and Fred Malone from the Historical Society. If you'd like to nominate anybody else, there is still time. We're going to hold nominations open through the 12th, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Now, remember on this night, we are going to have chestnuts, a.k.a. Buckeyes, so there will be some free food out there for everybody. We are also going to be presenting former Mayor Jack Kellogg with his Upper Crust Society Award. The winner of this event will get a plaque and a family four-pack of tickets to the Columbus Zoo Lights. We will also have a plaque for the best in WWGH class, which right now is will be contested between Adam, Carrington, Matt, myself, Linda, Pastor Craig, and Pastor Whitaker. So that should be interesting. And you know what? And again, and this was my error, and I'll point it out again. I made a grievous error last week, and I volunteered somebody mistakenly to bring the hot chocolate. Now, I don't think this person liked that I volunteered them, and I can understand that. You know, I wouldn't like if anybody volunteered me to do something that I didn't want to do. So I understand that, and so there may be hot chocolate by next Thursday. There may not be hot chocolate. We don't really know at this point, but we do know there's going to be Buckeyes, a.k.a. chestnuts, but I can't promise any hot chocolate at this particular point. So there you go. 740-751-4038 if you have any confirmations on any of these entrants. I think one of the people who we have not had confirmation on yet is Police Chief Jay McDonald. I really think that's the last one. And maybe some city council members we're not sure about yet. I know we got Ayers Ratliff in here. But outside of that, I don't know if we have any members. Now, I will say, as I've said before, and I've said this a million times, I think of this event, oh, they'll be singing that night too. Did I say they'd be singing with Carrington and Matt? We're going to sing some Christmas songs. Here's the thing. I see this event as real Marion diplomacy, because I think we're angry with each other too much. You know, in this event, we've got old, young, we've got fat, skinny, we've got tall, short, we've got Republican, Democrat, we've got it all. You know, we've got the whole spiel in this particular event. And for 1 hour, we're all going to get together and eat Buckeyes and possibly drink hot chocolate, and we're going to sing, and we're going to throw fruitcakes, and we're going to be nice to each other. And I feel, because of this, that I have a good chance to win the Nobel Peace Prize in Switzerland in December, this month. So I think that's perfectly fine. You know, I would be happy to accept. I'm not big on awards, but you know, if they want to give me the Nobel Peace Prize for this particular event, that's just fine. I'll be glad to accept. But those are the nominees we have so far for the big fruitcake toss, and I think Fred Malone makes number 46 into the fruitcake toss. So a lot of fun coming up on December 14th, 7 p.m., 685 Delaware Avenue. The history of the fruitcake toss is kind of interesting. We'll go back to the phones here in just a second. Go ahead, caller.
We also haven't had confirmation from Chip.
You know what? Chip's got to be out there. If, like I say, if I don't hear from Chip by tomorrow after the show, I will send him a Facebook message because I believe he's on Facebook.
Okay.
Yeah, I will do that because we've also got to there's somebody else I need to because I've contacted a lot of people on Facebook, and it seems like there's somebody I'm leaving out who I haven't contacted, but I got to do that. Now, is there anybody you can think of who we've left off as we're about a week in, what, week and 2 days away?
What about Jeannie Evers?
Well, I don't know. Do you want to nominate her?
I don't know how to get a hold of Jeannie, I know you're listening. Come throw a fruitcake.
Well, there you go. I'll tell you what. I'm more than happy to put her down, and if she can get there that night, she's more than welcome to participate. I haven't seen Jeannie in a while. It'd be good to see her.
Sounds good to me. Have a good show, Scott.
Hey, thank you. Bye-bye. Thank you, Sarah. All right. Well, Jeannie, if you can get a ride there that night, you're, or drive, you know, who knows what the roads will be like that night, but you're more than welcome to participate. Sarah has thrown you in the fruitcake toss. Of course, December 14th at 7 p.m. So there we go. There's 47 entrance into the fruitcake toss. You know, it's going to be a happening event. We've got more women in this year than ever before, and I've said I think that's a great thing. I think that's a really, really positive event that we have so many women in this time of year. And, you know, this is really a Christmas event. And I think at the holiday time, we just all have to be nice and happy and full of merriment. You know, this is a real peacemaking event. There's no... I don't want, because you know there are people on here who could be angry with each other. You know, I don't want to bring any of that up because you know some politicians sometimes get some sharp elbows, and that's not what's going to happen that night. That night we're all about singing, we're all about happiness, we're all about love, love, peace, and happiness. That's what we're about that night, and hopefully there'll be a Nobel Peace Prize win because of it. I'm going to have to contact Chip, and I know there was, I'll contact Fred Malone, I'll contact Chip, and I know there was somebody else who I needed to check in with via social media, and I can't remember who it was, so I'm going to have to remember who that was. See, my mind's starting to go at this point. You know, it's the holiday time. So, that's the fruitcake toss. And again, if you'd like to enter somebody, 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And remember, it doesn't cost anything to nominate anybody. You just got to let them know when and where and make sure they show up. And as I was saying earlier when we started the show, Christmas in Caledonia, Christmas in the Village, I believe is what they're calling it, will come up this Saturday at 6:15, and we'll be lighting the tree. Matt and Carrington will be singing, and it will be a real holiday event, to be sure. A lot of events going on over in Caledonia this coming Saturday. So, another big event going on in the Marion County area. It's a lot of fun this time of year. It really is. It's a lot of fun. Now, if you want to send us a Christmas card, you can do that. WGH Talk, 685 Delaware Avenue, Suite 110A, new address this year. Make sure you put your return address in there, and we will send you a card back. We'll read it on the air if you send us a card, and we will hang it in the WGH studio. And if you think we throw these cards away, we don't. Every year we have done this when the season's over, I take the cards off of the wall or the bulletin board or whatever they've been on, and I put them in a tote, and we save them as radio station memorabilia. So if you send us a card, WGH Talk, 685 Delaware Avenue, Suite 110A, of course, Marion, Ohio, 43302, and you put the return address in there, we will make sure you get a card back. Okay. Oh, yesterday, you know, I've been talking about this move of Chipotle from Mount Vernon Avenue to Delaware Avenue, where BP used to be there next to Arby's and Wendy's on Delaware Avenue. And I learned yesterday from one of our listeners, ran into them in the grocery store, that I'm not going to say the dollar amount that Chipotle allegedly paid for that particular spot, but it's quite a bit of dough. But this person was telling me that once those cones or whatever they are went up in the middle of the street, that Chipotle tried to get their money back for that particular spot, because now it's going to be hindered by those poles. You can't turn south out of there, and you can't enter from the north. You got to do a U-turn somewhere. You know, doesn't that whole thing encourage U-turns? Aren't U-turns illegal? Isn't that something we're not supposed to do? I really don't understand that. I really, truly do not understand those things out there, because I think they encourage breaking the law. And I'm not sure that that is what you want. Do they just want you to go up to the mall and turn around in the parking lot? Is that the theory? I don't know. Does anybody understand those things? 740-751-4038. And, of course, by things, I'm talking about the poles or barriers or whatever they are on Delaware Avenue and Barks Road, right where all the businesses are. That's where you want to put your barriers and your walls, right where all the businesses are. That's how you want to do it. I don't know. In any event, do you think it's decreased business? Because the person I was talking to yesterday was also talking about how there's been a decrease in business for Wendy's and Arby's. And I would think that that's probably true, that there would have to be some kind of decrease in business there with all that mess going on. So I don't know. But that's a story, always a story. But apparently Chipotle did try to get out of that deal once they bought that land when those barriers went up. I don't know. Did anybody else hear that? 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. Well, as I said yesterday, I have no earbuds here. You know, I did the cleaning in the office over the weekend and got rid of a lot of things that were just laying around that I just kind of left laying around. And I found an extender cord that would have allowed me to put earbuds in when I do the show in the morning. But now I can't find the earbuds. I found the extender cord, but I can't find the earbuds. You know, if things just work properly. Oh, there is something I wanted to bring up this morning I don't even have down in the notes. And I've brought this up 1,000 times. But you know what? It's the holiday time, and it's worth bringing up again. As many of you know, we started way back, this goes back to 2012 at this point, Laddie Boy's dog collar was stolen from the Harding home on a summer night back in 2012, and nothing has really been done with this, except what we've done. And I believe it was in the fall of 2021, we had an anonymous person come up and say, I'm going to offer a $1,000 reward for the return of Laddie Boy's dog collar. And this story went nationwide, which was great, but we didn't hear anything about the dog collar. Well, then we had the prosecutor on, Ray Grogan, and he said if the dog collar was returned, we are not going to prosecute anybody. He said he had talked to the police chief, and the police chief said we will not arrest anybody. Even if the person who stole the dog collar returns it, we will not prosecute them. We will not arrest them. Then the reward went up to $5,000. Now, we still have not heard anything about this dog collar. So my question this morning, and the reason I'm bringing this up, is I ran into the person who so graciously and kindly put up the reward money for the dog collar. I believe the dog collar still's got to be around here somewhere. I do, because I don't believe, first of all, it seems like a gag to me that it was stolen. The way it was done, it just does not seem like a well-thought-out criminal activity. And number two, what are you going to do? Meld it down? Destroy it? I mean, why did you take it in the first place if all you wanted to do was meld it down? There wasn't enough gold on there. It wasn't like it was gold-plated. How much money would you have gotten out of it? And at that time, how you couldn't have even really sold it for that much. So I believe this dog collar is still out there. And I believe the more we talk about it, the chances are it's going to show up. And I the reason I'm bringing it up this morning is because I did run into the person who put the reward up back in 2021 and raised the reward last year to $5,000. And they said the money's still there. The reward is still available. So if you have the dog collar, or if you know who has the dog collar, there's still $5,000 out there waiting on you. And again, if you don't want to go to the police station and you don't want to go to the prosecutor's office, you can return it to me. I'm not going to rat you out. Well, there's nobody to rat you out to because the prosecutor has said he's not going to prosecute. And the police chief has said he's not going to do anything about it. So this is kind of a nice thing. I mean, you would get $5,000 for the holiday season. You could be the one who stole it. And frankly, I'm not going to ask you any questions about the thing. It would not be something that I would ask questions about. If you brought it back, I'd just be happy you brought it back. I don't know what questions there'd be to ask at that particular point. But it's available, the $5,000 reward, Laddie Boy's dog collar. So I did want to bring that up again because we did talk about it again. Does anybody have any thoughts on this? Because I know some people think it was destroyed. But I just don't see that, to be honest. I just don't see it being destroyed. I think that if you destroyed it, what was the point? Nobody knows you destroyed it. What was the point of taking it? And number two, the way it was done so haphazardly, I keep thinking, why in the world would you go through all that just to throw it away or discard it? You know, it took 30 years for Lady Justice to show back up. And it there are things that have been missing for a long time. Things don't tend to show up right away. Well, this has been missing now, I believe, 11 years, over 11 years. So, if anybody has any information on Harding's dog collar, Laddie Boy's old dog collar, or any thoughts on it, give me a buzz here this morning. It's always an interesting subject to talk about because it's the last thing in Marion that has really been stolen that has no end result at this point. We really have no conclusion to this particular event. Where is the dog collar? Does anybody have any thoughts on it? 740-751-4038. And wouldn't you, if $5,000 was offered, wouldn't that make you want to return the dog collar? $5,000 is quite a bit of money, especially for that dog collar. I'm sure it's not worth $5,000. And if you knew there was no prosecution coming your way, why wouldn't you want to return it? It's one of Marion's long-term mysteries. Go ahead, caller.
Yeah, Scott, if you want to just kill a little dead air time, why, did you repeat back the money part of that? The first reward was $1,000, correct?
Right.
And then was the second addition, was that $5,000?
It went from $1,000 to $5,000.
And then you said if they return it, they'd get $5,000. What happened to the other $1,000?
Well, I think it's part of. I think it went from $1,000 to $5,000 because it was
That makes $6,000, right?
Well, I don't know. I think that the person.
No, So that's 5 and 1, and another 1,006.
Well, I think because the same person put the reward up, they originally put up 1,000, and then they said, I will increase that to 5,000. Not add 5,000, I'll increase it to 5,000.
Oh, we get, we get the language here. But, then it seems awful funny that this anonymous person is keep pounding on and raising the price, and the Harding Homer isn't really saying nothing about it, correct?
Well, that's my understanding, and I heard, now this, I wasn't there, so I can't vouch for it, but I get it from a pretty reliable source, that somebody at one point did ask the Harding Home about this. You know, what do you make of the reward being offered for Laddie Boy's dog collar? And the Harding Home said that, this is a paraphrase, not exactly what they said, but they pretty much said that that was not true, that that was a joke, which it's not a joke because I know the person who put the money up, and that's no joke. So I don't know why the Harding Home is saying that, because they've never called me to ask me about it.
And why are you in the middle of this? How do you get this position? I understand just you and that person knows about it, but I don't believe that. But anyhow,
you know what? I now that's a good question. Now that here are the two answers I have for that. Number one is that what happened was, I've been talking about this for a long time, and
sure,
and one day somebody came to me in the grocery store and said, I heard you talking about that this morning. Do you think a reward would help? And I said, I don't know. Nobody's ever offered a reward. I don't think the home or the sheriff's or the police department or anybody's ever offered a reward. And this person said, well, I'll give you the money for a reward, but you can never tell anybody who I am because I don't want to be known, which I thought was very interesting. So I said, fine, let's do that. So that's how I got involved. And also, I think there's the idea that even though there's not going to be a prosecution or anything, at that time, they didn't know that. So I think they felt it would be easier to return it to the radio station than the police department. So I think that's how I got involved. Now, as far as does anybody else know who it is, I can honestly say 100% I have never told anybody in my life who this is.
Yeah. And for you, with the radio station, affiliated with the radio station, that is, that you like the fame of having nationwide publicity on that, correct?
Well, it doesn't hurt.
Yeah, it helps out, right?
Oh, sure.
And so you would still like to be nationwide on the Marion radio station to obtain that and the reward, but it's never happening, and it's gone all these years. And so the between the money and the balance and the publicity, it's a hard thing to untwine. And if somebody does something wrong and then admits to it, and then nothing is done in the prosecution thing, that's another thing. It's over a little thing that I don't think is really the correct value has never been really told. I mean, it isn't nowhere near 5,000.
No.
Even $1,000.
Well, I'll tell you, and I don't think I've ever talked about this on the air, but here's the confusing thing about this to me. Not just how they stole it and that they left the ladder and it was in the middle of the night. We've talked about all that. But yeah. Here's the thing that's confusing to me. If you would have went to the Harding home prior to the thievery of this dog collar, it was one of the most popular items. Little kids love to talk about the dog. They learned about the dog in school. A lot of people still think that the dog is buried with Florence and Harding over at the home, which is not true. But that's always been a thing. So the fact that some
school, Scott, and our children went to the same schools in Marion, and I never hear a word about no dog collar from Attaboy.
Oh, it was a big thing because I even remember I got corrected. What was that?
Go ahead.
No, I remember at one point I got corrected on the air by somebody at the Harding home when I went on the air and said, well, the dog is buried over at the Harding home. Oh, no, 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 no. The dog is not buried at the Harding home. And even if it wasn't a popular item, I mean, let's take the stance that it wasn't a popular item. Of all the things they could have taken, why that? It certainly wasn't the most valuable. And if they were going to grab one thing, why that? It was on the second floor. It would have been more hard to get to than most things.
Uh-huh. Well, you know what? Maybe somebody else will want to talk here. But, you know, bringing up that subject about that holding vault for Mrs. Harding, you know, at the Marion Cemetery?
Right.
I got a clipping on that, and we was just talking, and I told you about Hamilton. He donated $10,000 to have that holding vault with sod and stuff put over to everything. It was in about 2008 paper, and I was just reading that, and I thought, you know, next time I talk to Scott, I'll mention that, because I used to just clip stuff out pertaining to Marion, and it's draw lines over something that was kind of outstanding. So, yeah, Merle, he put $10,000 in on that holding thing, and that's all that was for, and there was a discrepancy about what that was really meant for. You know, it was just a holding tomb till somebody got buried, not just the president of the United States.
You know, isn't that interesting, though, that a lot of people have put money into things? And, you know, I think that's, and not that anything wrong that Merle did that, because a lot of people have donated money and had their name in the paper and things like that. I think one of the reasons, now I can't speak for this person who donated this money, but I think one of the reasons that they have donated the money and want to be anonymous is because they don't want any publicity about it. They just want to do it because they want to do it.
I think something so cheap as a piece of leather, I mean, cheap in money, value, and don't want to be announced to it, that's okay. Yeah, just little things. If you just help somebody and you say, hey, just keep that quiet, I don't need to have that aired, and I can understand that. But, boy, this thing's carried on. I don't know.
One day it's got to show up, because the truth of the matter is Lady Justice took 30 years. We're not anywhere near 30 years yet. Harding's love letters, they took about 60 years to show up. So it takes a while sometimes.
You knew who got those, didn't you?
The love letters?
Yeah.
What was a lawyer downtown?
Well, okay. Well, we know that.
Wilson. See? Wasn't it Wilson?
Oh, I have no idea. I don't keep track of that stuff. But I said, see, I just threw that at you to see that, and maybe he or she, whatever, did you say Mr. or Mrs. or
what? I think it was Mr. Wilson.
Mr. Wilson was that he could have been my step-grandfather, because my step-grandfather was Mr. Wilson, but I don't know nothing about that.
Well, you know something interesting? I mean, we just lost Dick Carey earlier this year, who was the culprit in the Lady Justice situation. And one of the reasons Dick Carey did not return it, he told me in interviews that he felt that he was going to be prosecuted, number one, and number two, that he had become the president of the Historical Society, so it would have looked very bad if he had returned it. And I think that there may be something to that here. There's some reason that somebody doesn't want to return this, and I'm not sure what the hang-up is, because, like you said, it's not that expensive of an item. Why take it in the first place? Put yourself in jeopardy that way. And second of all, why not give it back for money that's worth far more than the actual dog collar? It makes no sense. And you know how people love to gossip. I mean, we're gossiping right here, right now. People.
And I'm going to gossip a little bit more. You know, I was up there when Lady Justice was atop of the courthouse, and there was there was no really publicity at all. Very few people was up there. And there's discrepancy about, is that the real Lady Justice?
Oh, you know what? I tell you.
On and on and on, you know.
Well, I'll tell you, I brought that up one time, and boy, people didn't like that. They didn't like talking about that. Is that the real?
You know what? I loved it because I saw her toenails. They had toenails on Lady Justice. She was there barefooted. And I looked at her clothes, and I thought that was really a thing for the public. And we're talking about getting people together to throw a fruitcake. Why, come on, there, things don't balance out. And also, there was supposed to be a PCV pipe with a few not really valuable pieces, just a get-together of people in Marion when they reveal every year they take that out, you know, like cornerstone at a church or something like that. You know, they said, look here, look at the cornerstone. Maybe something was in there.
And that's why that doesn't add up. And gosh, I don't want to open up that can of worms again about Lady Justice, but the whole thing that makes no sense about that, Charlie said, I don't know how many times, we've got tape and tape and tape after him saying, of him saying that when he put Lady Justice back up there, he put a PVC pipe in there, and one of the things that was in there, a picture of the Chuck Wagon Pals, Louis Wickersham's gavel was in there, and all of a sudden when they took it off, I asked the county commissioners, well, where's the PVC pipe? We don't know. I asked Judge Edwards, where's the PVC? I don't know. Now, where would that go?
I don't know. I was up there when Lady Justice was going to be atopped on the courthouse that morning, and Edwards, the judge there, and that's the first time I met him. So, see, I always get around. I like to meet people I hear about, never see them or this or that. So this fruitcake thing's bringing some people together that other people in there are interested in meeting and talking to them, and that help make Marion what it is. I think it's an enjoyable thing that we're having there. It's too bad it's at night. Maybe we're going to have to get some of the people like yourself. You're holding multiple jobs, so you have to work around you being a master of ceremonies and stuff. You have to work with your schedule, then other people's schedule, and then us older people don't like to go out at night. I don't, and there's nothing wrong with me, but I just don't like nighttime anymore. I made a living and served the United States of America being in transportation as the railroad, and I worked all hours and all days, and I just kind of nice when the sun goes down. Well, that's when you kind of go down, and when the sun, but there's got to be people that run the country, but we getting off on something else. But Lady Justice and all this other stuff, the dog collar, it isn't over in that holding vault. I'm pretty sure of that. It couldn't get, the dog couldn't have got sewed in there, could it?
No, I don't think so. But you know, I just think that there are too many mysteries about things here in Marion that for our own good. Because honestly, if the commissioners or the judge had said, oh yeah, we found the PVC pipe, we're going to give it to the Historical Society, or we're going to send it back up in Lady Justice, I don't think there ever would have been a question. But the fact that they couldn't find it is very strange to me, because the person who would have been doing all this renovation, you think, would have seen it in there. And I don't know. Apparently not. But
I get tongue-tied on this here. How about that Geraldo and that famous outlaw gangster and that vault they opened, and it was nothing there? We never got much satisfaction out of that deal. You was trying to get that on your show, too, but it didn't materialize, did it?
Well, we got Geraldo on, thank goodness.
Coming to Marion, he was only just a few steps away from Marion, you know, and you'd love to have him down there on the station. I know that. But now, you know what? You might attract a little bit more. You've got the way I understand, and it's, you know, that was funny. Pastor Craig, he locked everybody out and everything. The first opening of that, remember the morning that the key got jammed or something?
Oh,
like that?
Yes. Oh, yes.
Is that on record and everything about the pastor locking himself into a facility that nobody else ever got into yet? that was funny. But anyhow, no comment.
Well, I was trying to think of how that happened. I don't think I was there when that happened. He locked himself in the studio?
Sure was there. Yeah, the outside lock. I was up there. I went up there one day, and I seen another lock on top of a lock, and I said, boy, this is tight security, and I just saw that at the door. You know how a realtor comes, and they tell you, you get out of your house, you give me and I'm going to put a lock on the door, and you're not. But you know what? They'd never do that to my house. I tell that real estate person just to get out of here and stay out of here, because you're not telling me to get out of my house and bring other people in and show my home to somebody and me not there to keep an eye on the people.
Oh, at the old studio. Is that...
The new one right there at the city building where we're going to toss the fruitcakes. The pastor was in there, and he was there, and all at once you or somebody else went out, and you couldn't get back in because you didn't have a key. Your radio and the pastor just laughed and laughed and laughed. He said, you need any help? And you said, then finally, to cut in on the show again that particular day, that you got it solved.
I know. Okay, I know what you're talking about. Okay. You know, No, that was me. That wasn't the pastor. What happened was we have a restroom in that building that is every floor has a restroom in it, so everybody has a key who's got an office in that building. So during the break, I went down to use the restroom, and the key, it didn't break off. It just would not come out of the lock. It just would
now
not.
This is up there on Delaware Avenue,
yeah,
correct?
Yep. Okay. It just would not come out. You put the key in, and it wouldn't come out of the lock, and I couldn't pull it out. And
there
I got Pastor Craig. He couldn't pull it out. Even the manager of the building couldn't pull it out. So they said the lock probably broke or froze up. So they put a new lock on. Nobody was locked out. We couldn't get in.
Oh, I thought it was the way I heard the way it come across the air, you know, it was a laughing matter to one, and then you wasn't too laughing about it, but everything worked out. Yeah, they had trouble with the key there at the old facility there where you transferred from there at the old one up to the new one.
Well, yeah, that's where Terry allegedly got locked out, and I don't know what happened with that story, so that's a whole nother can of worms.
You had a fortune in keys hanging on the wall that they come up disappearing, didn't they? Was that the key to the outhouse too, or just the facility to get in and out of the building?
Well, that brings up bad memories, because back when we were down in over the Ohio Health Building, we had one of those bathrooms too that you had to have a key to, because it was only one bathroom on the floor. And somebody, I went in one morning to do my show, and somebody lost the key. So you couldn't go to the bathroom, and there was nobody in the building to get a key to go to the bathroom. And I thought, this is going to be a long morning.
Well, Scott, you know, you've solved a lot of things, and you're still having a good show. And I've took up a lot of time of it, but I've had some laughs, and I've had some my opinions put on that dog collar and other things that... We'll just see what goes on. Thanks,
we'll see.
Scott.
Thanks. Bye-bye. All right. Phone lines are open. 740-751-4038. That's 740-751-4038. And I wanted to bring that up again, the dog collar situation, because I ran into the person who has put up the reward. I think I ran into that person on Sunday. So I did want to bring that up again, because they said the money is still there. And I think it's bears... repeating to bring it up on the air here. You know, people think, and it's a funny thing, people think that I have told somebody, because I don't think it's hard to keep a secret. I don't deny that, but people think that I have told somebody who that is. I've told nobody. There is nobody at the radio station. There's nobody in my personal life who I've ever told who it was. Now, people have tried to guess many times who it was, but I don't even give a lead on there. When somebody guesses a name, I just say, okay, that's your guess. 58 minutes past the hour here, WGH time. Go ahead, caller.
Hey, Scott. Listen pretty closely. We do know one thing that you've let out. It's a she.
I have let that out, yes.
It's a she. So you and the she's, you have quite a category there on the she's. Even the most recent one is the hot chocolate she.
And I can't even get the hot chocolate. I don't know what's going on there.
That would rhyme with first she.
That's right. There you go. Thanks. All right. Yeah, we don't know where the hot chocolate's iffy for the fruitcake toss. We don't know. You know. I volunteered somebody. That was my mistake. I'll take full responsibility for that. We'll see how that goes. Fruitcake Toss, December the 14th, and, of course, Christmas in the Village this coming Saturday, 6:15 over in Caledonia. We got a whole another hour to go. Don't you dare switch that dial for love nor money. What are we at? 46 people in the Fruitcake Toss now. Don't go anywhere.
The place for holiday fun. For legendary actor and spokesperson for Quaker Oats, Wilford Brimley, reading 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, and hopes that St. Nicholas would soon be there. The children were nestled.